Does leadership have an age? Do you have to get to a certain point in your age before you can technically be a leader? That's the conversation that we're going to have today, and I'm so excited to have Raisa Matolo with me. She is a force to be reckoned with in the Twin Cities area, is actively involved in a millennial extraordinaire, actively involved in this market and just a lot of different activities. And she's also a speaker, and she speaks on this inspired leadership topic and really helping people understand, you know, especially younger people, like, what does it mean to be a leader? What does that look like? And she has a great just story and career. As I always say, it's not a career ladder, it's a jungle gym for most of us, like just different experiences. So let's start there. So first of all, thank you for being on the podcast.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and how you've gotten to where you are today.
Well, it was definitely not planned. Let's just put it that way. So we'll just fast forward to school, and I went to the University of Minnesota, graduated as a gopher, but then I actually ended up in medical school, so definitely not anywhere close to where I am today, but after leaving medical school, I did travel for a little bit, trying to figure out what was my next move, and what was I really going to be doing with my life, because I only knew one thing, and I somehow landed in commercial real estate. So you don't need a medical degree for what I do. Just so you
good
know.
Good to know for anybody who's thinking
anyone
about
who's considering real estate, you don't need a medical degree. It's nice if, you know, you have a client on site who needs CPR, but a lot cheaper ways to get certified. So I ended up as a industrial and corporate solutions broker. So I work with a lot of corporate clients on their real estate, both nationally, and we have the ability to work on a global scale as well, which is unique for a lot of firms, but for us specifically, because we're private and we're a smaller shop, that's something for us that's really awesome. We get to do a lot of one-on-one with our clients. But outside of work, you know, I do tend to volunteer a lot. I considered volunteering, but I sit on a few boards. I'm the board president for the Twin Cities Film Fest. I sit on the board for New Loop Partners here in Minneapolis, Film North. I'm a judge for Technovation, which is an organization that works with middle school and high school girls that create apps that are part of a social cause. So to be part of the organization, to be part of the competition, which is an international competition, you have to create an app that's going to do good in your community or solve a problem or an existing problem in your community. And it's so cool. I mean, you get these girls from all over the world putting together these really unique, different concepts, and I don't even know how they come up with it, but
they're brilliant.
Yeah,
at a young age.
I mean, they're getting smarter and smarter. I sit on a few other boards and work with a few other organizations, but yeah.
So how do you go from medical school to real estate to truly being a business owner, right? An entrepreneur.
Yeah,
and did you set out to do that?
No. No.
Who would set out to do this?
You ever have those days where you wake up and you're like, what am I doing? But keep it together so
keep
no one
together.
Else can tell.
Exactly.
You know, not the whole like fake it till you make it, but you're kind of like, ooh, this is new. You think if I just kind of like breeze through this, they'll notice I have no clue.
I'm figuring
and then
it out as
pick
we go
up
along.
The pieces after everybody leaves frantically.
No, I don't think there's anyone listening that relates to that at all.
No, everyone has it put together, right? So I think I'm gonna be honest, it was a really hard transition. It was easy in the beginning because I think I started off working in a development company where I don't want to say it was simple, but what I was working on was simple enough. But then as I grew and then I switched into brokerage, and then as a business owner, you have a whole new set of challenges and problems. And I don't think anyone has new problems. They just have ongoing problems.
Yep.
And it's just another way of showing up. And it's, you don't really fix it. You just find ways to solve it and move through it.
And with each solve, a new problem presents itself then.
Yeah.
You know, the goal is to just not be dealing with the same problems
right.
over and over
exactly.
again.
Exactly. It's good to have new problems. It's better to have new problems. And the reality of that probably means that you're doing something right in a way, even though it mm-hmm. you seem like you're drowning and you're just so clueless at times. But if you didn't have problems, then you're staying consistent and there's nothing there.
It's boring.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You're not growing. So yeah. I probably needed to hear that message today as I came in here and said how stressed out we both are.
And
like we're tired. It's like, oh, I just look at my problems as growth. Thank you for the reminder. So what I really wanted to talk about today, because I know this is a topic you're passionate about, it's clearly something that we talk about. Actually, before we get to that, you have to tell us what one of your superpowers is, because it's a really important part of what we talk about is what's one of those things that's gotten you to where you're at today.
So I think my superpower would probably be being open-minded. You know, having an ability to step back out of a situation and see it from a different perspective, even if I don't agree with it. And I think that's the tough part. Sometimes when you work with other individuals or colleagues or clients or, you know, even in a board role or in a relationship role, if you're not able to logically or realistically understand what's happening, it can get tough and tense. And I think that's how conflict kind of comes about. But I like to think that that's my way of adding some good value. I wish I could like fly or something, but
no, that's a very realistic superpower. And it is something that, you know, not everybody has, right? Like people that are wired more emotionally, mm-hmm. it's very tough for them sometimes. And I'm really one of those people is sometimes it's hard for me to remove myself from the situation mm-hmm. and look at it differently. And I think that logical approach is a good balance in an organization.
It is. And I think, you know, kind of like you said too, I think my clients like the fact that I can take the emotion out for them.
Yes.
So they don't have to be the ones to have to really work through that on their own. And for me, I'm personally invested in every transaction I work on because I consider myself as being on their team and as part of their organization. I'm just not there to represent them or be an advisor. I see myself as working as if I were in their business. But then when you have someone like that who takes it out for you, it's even better because
yeah.
you have someone that you're trusting and now
that's
they're
got a
doing
different
the
perspective
legwork and you
yep.
don't feel as uncomfortable by what you're hearing too.
Yep. I love that. That's absolutely a superpower.
I'll take it. I'll keep it, dibs. I need a cape with that on, right? Like overthinking.
There you go. I love it. And so what I wanted to talk about today, and it's because, you know, you have a really strong message in the not specifically just with girls and women, but just in general with young leaders and helping them understand like what is inspired leadership. And we got into this conversation about, you know, does leadership have an age, right? Can you lead when you're younger? And I think we both believe the answer is yes, but I want to mm-hmm. kind of peel that back. And, you know, when you do speak and the message that you send, like what, how do you speak to younger? And when I say younger, I mean middle school, high school, college age, you know, that they don't have a title yet.
Mm-hmm.
What does leadership look like for them?
So I think it's interesting because growing up, my dad would always tell me that you're a leader. So I never really associated being a leader with a title mm-hmm. or a category or being put in a box. It's not something that you went to school for and got a degree in and then someone you graduated and said, okay, well now you're a leader, so congratulations, you got that promotion.
Yep.
So I think that kind of helped instill it in me in a young age. The other interestingly enough, my name means leader. Risa means leader, so there you go.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Mom and Dad. But I think growing up that way, it made me realize that your actions and what you do on a day-to-day basis, while you may not think anything of it or even recognize what you're doing as being effective to those around you, someone is watching you and someone is looking to you or looking at you for guidance or strength or inspiration or just overall wanting to know, you know, how they can aspire to something. With young girls, it gets harder and harder, and I feel so bad for them, you know, with each generation because they have so much going on, and I feel like they have so much stress of fitting in and being a certain way and looking a certain way. And I don't think social media helps at all.
No. Listen, that's not just for young girls. Social media doesn't help any of us with that battle.
I don't like it. It's this idea of living a life you don't really live, but being able to pick and choose all the great, fun stuff.
The highlight reel.
Yes. Yep, exactly. And great, that's awesome. You know, we should always celebrate everyone's successes. But if we continue to start only talking about that and we forget about what it took for us to get there, and how much we went through or how we had to go through it, I think we'd have a lot, we'd have a different outcome.
Well, I think so this is interesting. A couple of things as we came in and started talking about this, as I did a podcast a few weeks ago around who are you inspiring? And it was this realization, and there's kind of a story to it, but about, you know, who I'm watching, and I don't even realize they're inspiring me to behave the way I am. But it also came a realization for me as I was traveling for business, and I was in Mexico on a retreat, CEO business, and I ran in the morning and posted this picture, but I was like, I'm not just posting, because I always post pictures when I go places, because it's my clarity break. I say, this is how I run in the morning. Like, I'm just teaching leaders, like, figure out what your break is when you do your strategy. It's on things like that. And I posted, and I was going to post it, and I'm like, I'm not just posting this picture, because the reality is I'm seeing this at 7 a.m. in the morning, but I'm in a cold conference room for 12 hours doing mastermind work and working on my business. And yes, I'm at a beautiful resort that I didn't even see really daylight except for when I was running in the morning. And so I posted that whole thing that said, here's the highlight reel. Beautiful beach, running in the morning. Here's the reality reel. Missed soccer games, you know, missed making a choice to, like, that's the reality. But we don't usually see that because no one posts the B-side of the record, right? No one talks about that.
No one ever wants to talk about it because it's that nitty-gritty stuff that it's not glamorous.
And we're supposed to have it all together.
Yeah, it doesn't make us sound good. No one talks about, you know, just getting up and running until you collapse. And then one day you're like, oh, this awesome thing happened. So let's just celebrate this moment.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. And as younger girls, too, you grow up with that and you see that and you start thinking, well, I'm not doing it right or I'm not good enough. And then you start seeing yourself as not being capable of leading or being in a position of whatever we define leadership as. And that's harmful.
Yeah. So what's your message for young adults, right, in general, in how you find that inspiration, right? Where do they find it from? And then as adults, how do we make sure that we're doing the right things to inspire the next generation?
You know, so it's interesting. So I have a 4-year-old goddaughter. About 2 weekends ago, I spoke at a summit on leadership, and they asked me for a list of people who inspire me, and my goddaughter was first on my list. Because going back to that whole no age being associated with being a leader, I learned quickly and very quickly that whether I like it or not, she looks at me whenever I do something, whenever I say something, however I act and behave. And she started replicating that. And she started copying it in a sense, because she thought, well, that's what you do, because this is someone I admire and want to be with. But then I used to look at her actions, and I still look at her actions, and I realize how fearless she is. She takes what I do, but then she just has her own level of just fearless and just opinionated value and what she thinks.
4-year-old going on 40.
Exactly. And, you know, she just doesn't. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized the younger I was, the more fearless I was. And I was more likely to make mistakes. I was more likely to jump off, you know, that tree or that rock or jump into the oat. And I looked to her as my inspiration because, I mean, if this 4-year-old who has no clue about what is going on in the world can be so fearless, I mean, that's kind of what you need a leader to do, really. She's so willing to look at me and work with me and wanting to be like me, but she has her own way of being so fearless. And I think that's what a leader does. It encompasses everyone and everything.
Yeah, and the vulnerability of you can learn from anyone no matter what their age is.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about these, the technovation and these young adults that are creating these things that you're looking at them and saying you're an inspiration, and they don't realize it. Exactly. And I don't think we tell them enough.
And I think we have a very bad habit of pointing out mistakes as failures and not as teachable moments. And that becomes a problem too, because now we're setting up young leaders as individuals who are going to be afraid to say or do certain things because they don't want to come off as being wrong, or they don't want to make an error or feel like someone else doesn't think they're capable of it. And then we unintentionally and indirectly just shut down great ideas they could have had if given the opportunity just to maybe make those mistakes.
Or produce something that's not perfect. It's not exactly all put together. Like you said earlier, you know, the fake it till you make. It's you know, I know there's people that have an issue with that term, but it's really, I always say fake it till you become it.
Yep.
So it's fake it until you've gotten to that point, meaning mm-hmm. I have to have. Like, sometimes I need someone else to have confidence in me before I'm all the way there,
exactly.
But then eventually I'll get there. And I think we forget that's really what the mistakes are, is building that confidence.
100%. I think it comes down to, you know, calculated risk and intentional thought process. And if we can figure out a way to do that, then I think we're more likely to have that confidence because we have those supporters and those backers. And I really hope that, you know, we get to a point where we realize that the perfect highlight reel is not all there is, and that faking and working towards it and trying to overcome those barriers really are what reality in life is like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
And it's not faking it, it's learning.
It's learning, and it's going through a process, and no one... I hate when... And I use the word hate because I really do hate it when people will come up to me and say, well... You just have it all put together. Like, you just, I feel like you just figured it all out. And I just want to stare at them and be like,
what?
I just want to nap, really.
Like, I'm just glad I got dressed today.
I didn't do my hair today. And I popped on glasses because I was like, I don't care. I don't want to poke my eye out at 6 a.m. But it's this whole idea of, great, you see what you want to see, and that's awesome, but I'll be the first person to tell you that I'm still figuring it out every single day. And every time I learn something, again, another problem, right? Another good problem
yes.
came from me solving another problem. And it's just like this big cycle of everything going round and round and round. My intern yesterday told me, he's like, I'm learning so much from you. Like you know so much. I feel like I'm so far behind. And I looked at him and I was like, do you know how much longer I've been doing this than you?
Don't compare my
but
middle
also,
to your beginning.
Do you know
yeah.
how much you know that I'm learning from you? Because you have a new way to do it that sometimes is better or working alongside my way.
Okay.
That's creating an entirely new process to make it easier and more sustainable for us. Like,
okay.
You don't think you're adding value, but I mean, you're teaching me.
Everything you're describing right now, everyone that is listening, I want you to pause right now and think about this. Everything you just said is the heart of leadership. Because truly, the way we get through the generational divide, right, and all of the drama that's going on is for us to be able to admit that we can learn something from each other.
Oh, my gosh.
That it doesn't matter, I've been here 30 years more than you, there's still something that you can learn, that I can learn from you about technology or about a different
oh,
perspective
absolutely.
That you bring. And that's where I really struggle with the generational piece, because I think it's more of our life experience and our perspectives more than it is generation. It's just, it's
mm-hmm.
what we've grown up with and what we've been around
yeah.
that gives us a different perspective on something. And that's what leadership is pulling that out of the people around you.
No, I 100% agree. And I think that's where having to be open-minded comes into
yes.
play, because if you're not open-minded, then you're really missing out on this ability to recognize what someone else could bring to the table for you
yes.
to help grow, to help, you know, sustain, to help give life to. And I think we do a really great job of that in our team, in our office.
That's amazing.
We're very open-minded in that aspect, and we're not afraid to try something and sit back in a few weeks or a few months and decide, was that a good fit for us? If it is, that's awesome. Let's run with it. And if it wasn't, you know what? We tried. So what?
We'll keep going.
Let's just keep going. We can
yeah.
always go back to the way it used to be, right?
Yep. What's the worst case scenario? And I think that's the thing to ask is, if this doesn't work, Mm-hmm. We're not going back to like the beginning. We're just going back to where we were before, and then we'll figure out the next path forward.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you just keep thinking that way, you're just going to be overthinking constantly. And in my case, overthinking and hungry all the time, because I overthink and I'm like, now I need a snack because I'm so exhausted from all of that.
All of that thinking exhausted me. I love that. I think that's the major lesson here. You know, when we talk about does leadership have an age, is it's not just, it is, but it's not just inspiring youth to think like leaders. Mm-hmm. That is a huge piece of it. But it's also for us to treat them like leaders when they deserve it, and to remind them that they are.
I think it's the Army, right? That they have a great motto for that. It's leaders eat last.
Yeah.
Right? You let your team always take the first step, and you're basically there to make sure everyone's getting their say and their piece and their fill, and then you step in.
And that's where the best product comes from. That's right. Where the best result for your business or actually comes from.
Yeah.
It's not the pressure, and I was just having this discussion with somebody, the pressure that you need to have all the answers and your team is waiting for you to tell them to walk in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes we need to let them figure it out, and we just have to ask the right questions along the way, as I say, to keep them in the guardrails so they're safe, right? They're not going to fall off the cliff, but they're not always going to be on the straight line down the middle.
The example I gave the group of girls I spoke at the summit to were, everyone's a leader in their own capacity. You can take a chameleon. A chameleon is a leader. It teaches its, you know, little reptile babies how to adapt to situations. Mm-hmm. As a leader, you learn to adapt to multiple situations. You blend in. And then one of my favorite stories about what is a good leader, or example, I should say, are wolf packs.
Mm-hmm.
In a wolf pack, your first three, or your first however many in the wolf pack, are your elderly and your sick. The next five after that are some of the strongest in the wolf pack.
Mm-hmm.
The middle is the rest of the pack. The next five are the stronger in the pack, and then trailing behind is the leader. So, I mean, it's a great example of how leadership adapts to multiple different levels, and how, whether you are single as like a chameleon, or whether you're multiple in a group like a wolf pack, I mean, you have different ways of leading, and that does not come down to age. It does not come down to how or who, or there's millions of books out there, but there's no one right manual on leadership.
There's no real definition.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, there's leadership is in every role across every species. Lionesses, I mean, everyone thinks the lion is the king of the jungle, but who's feeding him?
Yeah.
Who's protecting the pride?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, who's stepping out ahead? So I think it's just interesting when we start recognizing that in species around
us.
And why can't we look at ourselves and go, well, I mean, if we can see a lion as a leader, or, you know, a reptile, why aren't we leaders?
Yeah.
Why do we need a title that says principal or CEO or owner or founder to be able to be a leader?
And I think it's the organizations that clearly the titles and some structure is needed.
Absolutely.
But it's the organizations that can truly get that out of their people that have a true competitive advantage, because they're making better decisions. The clients and customers are more satisfied.
Yes.
We can do more with less when we have people that think that way.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely agree with that. That it's tough, though. It's more a matter of figuring it out and understanding how to build an ecosystem where you can have multiple individuals on your team to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part, getting people around you to know that they are leaders, but they also play a piece in that, or a role in that.
Yep. What advice would you give, and again, regardless of age, of someone who is maybe stuck in that mentality, or that's just the world they've been in, is that leadership means title. How do they start on their own leadership journey? Or they're probably already on it, but how do they start to recognize it? Like, what advice would you give them?
You know, I tell my goddaughter that she's 4. She doesn't understand. She just looks at me and she goes, okay. Okay, Reezy. But, you know, I always tell young girls too that you have everything you need within you already. Don't let anyone else convince you otherwise. Because the moment you start doing that, you're going to question and doubt yourself. So
channel your four-year-old self.
You have to, yeah, you have to
the
really
no fear,
dig deep sometimes.
I
mean, I do. There are days I wake up and I'm going, well, I'm not cut out for this. This is not my calling. What was I thinking? Like, mm-hmm. you know, every swear word in my head's flying off my head at 5 a.m. going, what is wrong with you? Who said you could do this? Shame on you.
Yeah.
But I think if you can channel that energy and think, I mean, it's hard, but if you can actually think through, you know, any situation you've been in, you have found your way out to this point.
It's how you've gotten to this point.
So
you've
you can continue doing that, and if you let anyone else tell you otherwise, well, then you're the problem. It's not anyone else's opinion. They're allowed to have their opinion, but you're choosing not to actually act on it.
Well, and we're choosing what we allow to actually impact us.
Exactly.
Because same thing with social media everyone is entitled to how they believe. Now, there's some of them that shouldn't be posting everything that they believe online, but they're entitled to it, but we're entitled to deciding how we take it and internalize it.
Oh, 100%. And so, I think if you can, you know, as young girls, just think about, make intentional decisions, because those are all going to be actions that are leading up towards what you're working towards. And sometimes, do the hard right and not the easy wrong. That's a tough one. One thing that really helped me, and I wish I had done this years and years and years ago, but I write down things that people tell me that I feel help me or encourage me, or if I think of something or a way of doing something, to motivate myself back on it. And I have what I like to call my own personal set of principles. And those are things that we utilize within our business, within my personal life, within my professional life, and they're very multifaceted in how you can use them. But my personal principles help navigate and guide me with my decision making, so I can always come back to the root cause of it, and I can always go back to not one solution, but the reason of letting me know and reminding me why you're doing this to help me overcome it, and what you're capable of doing. And I think that's different for everyone, because my principles may not work for you, may not work for the person next door or down the street, but there are things that I think we can learn from each other, but also ourselves, that we don't give ourselves enough credit sometimes that we're pretty strong and we can continue being strong.
And it's having that solid foundation. And, you know, the advice you gave earlier about, you know, where you were speaking and they made you, you know, they wanted you to create a list of who inspires you. I think that's a great activity for people to do as well.
Yeah.
Is because how often do we stop? And I think it's two lists, is who are you inspiring potentially, mm-hmm. right? Who are you having an impact on, and who are you being inspired by? And I think going through that activity, like you said, is it shows you then that there are people who are inspiring to you that, you know, have the age isn't, it's what they're going through. It's what they've gone through and what they've dealt with that can be inspiring.
And one thing I always like to remind young women, you do not have to only have a list of women you look up to. I think that's a huge mistake. I think when we start segregating and putting up walls and barriers and not learning to work with and against is just... For me, I personally feel that's a no-no. I have so many mentors and role models in my life that are men, not because I chose it, but that's the way it happened,
mm-hmm.
How I landed in
and
this
vice
industry.
Versa.
Exactly. Personally for me, I feel like gender or culture or race or whatever it is shouldn't define who you see as inspiration or who you use as a role model or a mentor. I think you need to find a good fit for yourself and for that person. And you learn something different from each individual.
Yeah.
I think that's so important.
I think that is such a fantastic piece of advice to end this on, because it really shapes who you are, and it should know no limits. Right? We don't need to be polarizing as we are and make it fit into something that someone else believes it should be.
Right. You know, and think about how you want to be treated by anybody.
As a human being, not
just,
as a...
You know, be a good person, be a kind human. And I think if you think about how you'd like to be treated, I think that should just be carried forward.
I love this. So if people want to find out more information about you, about what you do, about some of the causes, and we can definitely include in the podcast links to some of the causes that you're passionate about, what's the best way for them to get in touch? And we'll make sure we include that
as well. Yeah, you can email me or you can give me a call. And if you want to make it really easy, because I had a mentor kind of very forcefully make me do this. I have a website.
Love it.
Bought RaisaMotala.com 12 years ago. I only launched it last year.
I love it. They say everyone should own their name.
It's RaisaMotala.com.
And we'll put that in the notes.
And all my contact information's up there. Just you can shoot me a note. But I'm always willing to talk to anyone or offer advice or learn or, you know, take feedback. I'm always open for the feedback part.
And that's an understatement, because, I mean, you are always giving your time and your talents and your mentorship. And again, you're practicing what you're preaching. There's a lot of people talking about this, but there's, you know, even fewer that are walking the walk and taking time out of their busy schedule to share these messages and do these things. And I think if more of us did that, even in the smallest way, mentorship is such an important piece of everybody's growth.
No, it is. It definitely is. And it's important. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today or where I could be in 5 or 10 years without the people who took the time and the energy for me. And I just want to make sure that I pay that forward in the best way, in the most intentional way that I can.
Yep. And I want to thank you, for taking time to be on here. The woman whose phone has gone off no less than 17 times. No, because you're busy. Like, that's the reality. And I don't say that to give you.
No, that is the reality.
She had to tell all of the staff, like, okay, I need 30 minutes to do this, because it's reality. It's like, that's the craziness nobody else sees. They see the glory, right?
But the
craziness. So I want you to know, I am grateful.
It's that iceberg poster, right? Yes, where you see the point on the top above the water and it says success, but underneath the water it goes 50 feet deep.
All of the stuff that nobody saw. All of the long nights. And so I want you to know how grateful I am for you taking the time to be here. And to our listeners, just continued gratitude for you engaging in this community and in the conversation. And, you know, if you're not already subscribed, please do that. So that way you get the latest podcasts when we drop them. And please leave us ratings and reviews, because it lets us know what topics are resonating with you, what topics you're struggling with, and that this helped. And that's the whole purpose and the reason that we do this. So, you know, as always, thank you for being here. And remember to continue using, you know, your strengths, your superpowers to get to that next level of success. Thanks, everyone.